Today on Real Life Radio.
It's not that it was one or 100 billion people over the course of human history. It's irrelevant to him. He doesn't love based on numbers. He loves one at a time.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Haven't we all felt the sting of guilt when it comes to pursuing God at a deeper level? We really want to, but we're not sure how to do it while living under the pressure of life. It's why The Pursuit of God by the late author and pastor A.W. Tozer is our current featured resource. Tozer will show you how to quiet your life in God's presence, offering you hope and a new outlook on life. The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with the message titled, Heaven, Will You Be Going There? Part 3. Now, this series is a study in what the Bible says about heaven, about the future, and why it really matters in our lives today. You see, the Bible tells us that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see heaven. But what does it mean to believe in Him? So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that to believe in Jesus gives us an awareness that there is a battle for our minds and souls going on right now. But we can be confident that the Lord, who has begun a good work in us, has promised to complete it. Now, with his message called Heaven, Will You Be Going There? Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I took a group of men not too long ago. We went up there and we held our hands up like we did in 1986. And I dedicated a group of men of this church to God's hand. And by the way, those men are deployed all around you. And they're on a mission. That mission that they're on is to be masculine, God-loving, wife, children-loving men as examples, and they are going to transform this church. This is going to be a church, listen, this is going to be a church of the most amazing biblical masculinity you've ever seen. Can you say that word? Can you say masculinity? Oh, God invented masculinity. The problem is the world has shown you a horrible picture of it. Not toxic masculinity, anointed masculinity. Jesus taught us how to love. Jesus taught us how to defend truth and to care for others. Can you ask yourself if God has done a work in you? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible tells us, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. This is awesome. The Lord knows those who are His. God sees your mark. We can't see it physically. God can see that you're marked. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, we'll talk about it soon, I think, in a moment, if I get to it in time, that you who believe are sealed with and by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And there's no getting around that. Listen, today if you say, I don't know if I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, either you're not and you need to get, or you are and you don't know how to identify that. And that's okay. But the Lord knows those who are His. The word in Greek is gnosko. It's a great word. I love this word because the Lord experiences those who are His. That's what the word gnosko means. It means, you see this? Watch. Listen. Bible, turn the pages. See what I'm doing? I'm gnoskoing this Bible. I'm familiar with it. I feel it. I am in direct connection with it. God's word says, I know those that are mine. I'm in direct connection with them. I feel them. I can touch them. I know them. I cannot be any more intimate with them than what I am with my own. Do you believe in Lord Jesus Christ? That's your reality. Amen. You need to spiritually stop tiptoeing around and be confident in Christ. Amen. Here's a big test. You ever want to try this? Do it at home. Don't do it here. If you don't think you belong to God, if you think God doesn't want you, try denouncing Him. Take your Bible when you go home today. Go get a trash can and try to burn it. Just burn it. Just throw your Bible across the street. Just say, I never pick it up again. I did that once. You're looking at a guy that struggled for 3 years with such condemnation because I couldn't get over my past. I remember being so angry because I couldn't fathom the love of God for me. How could he? What was funny is that I could see God's love for all of you and the friends around me at that time, but I couldn't see it for me. And it's powerful because it's dangerous because Jesus is a personal savior. He's not a group savior. Amen. You need to hear this. If I were to ask you, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. And I asked you the diagnostic questions. Do you believe he died for you on the cross? Yes. But then you believe you're going to heaven, right? I don't know. I keep remembering about my past. And it's just, I don't know. Listen, you understand something. He died for you personally. That's why it had to be God that did it. No man could have done it for us personally. Do you understand that? So, hey, I found a really great guy. He's down the street. As far as I can tell, he could almost walk on water. Maybe he'll die for me. Hey, even if you found such a person, it's not going to work. God had to die for us. And when you come to realize that if Adam and Eve had a baby, somebody, give me your names. Just give me a name.
Jennifer.
If Adam and Eve had a baby and Jennifer was the only one born, and then Eve trips over an apple over there, it had to be an apple. The way Apple computer, apple, it had to be an apple. If Adam and Eve would have sinned and plunged the three of them by their action into condemnation, Jesus Christ still would have died if Jennifer would have been the only kid born into this entire world. Did you know that? Say, whoa, that's not a very big salvation purchase for all that suffering. You're looking at it religiously. God looked at it. Listen. Listen to me. God looked at it purely based on his nature of who he is. God didn't convince himself that he's the Redeemer. Because he is Redeemer. It's not that it was one or 100 billion people over the course of human history. It's irrelevant to him. He doesn't love based on numbers. He loves one at a time. And that love he has for you is blind to your sins and faults because you believe in Jesus Christ. You see, as a non-Christian, God sees all of my sin. But the moment I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, imagine you being, because of belief, you're dipped in a tub of blood. You say, Pastor, that's so gross. It should be gross. It costs God his life. And you stand up. Listen, if I were God and I'm looking at you, I only see red. That's why the Bible says he will never remember your sins. And as far as the east is from the west, he will remove your sins from you. Why? Because he only sees red. So who made that up? God did. Stop trying to convince him of other things. Just zip it, will you? Thank him for it. When you trust Christ, God sees you red, washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's his deal. Listen, he did that. Enter into that. You have nothing to do with it but to believe him. So get into it. Stop overthinking it. Did you do wrong? Did you sin against God? Was that evil? Yes. Then run to him. Amen. Run to him and get red. Amen. Plunge, as the old hymn goes, in under the fountain of Emmanuel's veins. Remarkable. Genesis 3:14 and 15 says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity. Listen, God is speaking to Satan. I'm going to put warfare between you and the woman. That's funny. You mean God is like arranging a fight between Satan and Eve? Not exactly. More specifically, between your seed, Satan, your offspring, and her offspring, his offspring, plural, her offspring, that's why it's capital S, there, singular. You will bruise, he shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. You'll inflict pain upon this child that's coming that will redeem the world, but he's going to crush your head. Satan has known that since the Garden of Eden. But has God begun to work in you? Why don't you let him finish it? It's time to stop goofing off. Let him finish it. You're going to heaven. Why not go there in blazing glory? Do you believe him? Yes. Do you believe that his word is given to you, the word of God? Yes. Then stand up, wipe your nose, and get going. Amen. Stop looking back. Every time you look back, you crash. I don't care if you're driving your lawnmower. Driving your lawnmower. Pushing your lawnmower. If you're sailing your boat. If you're driving down the freeway, you know the faster you go. And are we not going fast in life right now? The faster you go down the freeway, I don't care if you're in a Yugo or a Ferrari, the truth is the same. If you look over your shoulder to look back, you're going to crash. That's why you have rearview mirrors. You don't look back. A lot of Christians today are going to heaven, but they're stuck because they keep looking back. Oh, God, remember this? And God goes, no, all I see is red. Yeah, it was really bad. Remember I said that thing? No, I just see red. Psalm 138, verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. That's his prayer. Here's the reality. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Listen to this, everybody. You guys okay? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. Just as he chose us in him, that's Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means God knew you. Before you were ever hatched, he knew who you were. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us. He did that based on his foreknowledge. This should encourage you, believer, who's going to heaven. To adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in, notice capital B, the beloved. That's Jesus. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom, prudence, having made known to us, here it comes, the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Hear all this legal talk? It's as though God is making a declaration, an executive order from God, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, in him. Verse 11 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Is this genius or what? Verse 12, trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Wow. You meditate on that's deep. That's beyond deep. That's letting you into to the secret or the mystery of salvation that was in the heart and mind of God before time ever was.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, 6 tells us, be, technically, the Greek is be being. We say being confident of this very thing. The word in the Greek means be being confident. Always, never do you not have to be confident. It's a command. Be being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. That means God does his work. Are you going to heaven? I'm not sure. Do you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Yes. I just don't feel saved. Stop it. And believe. Go back to what you know. What got you originally to raise your hand or to get up or come forward or to fall on your face or to say, Jesus, come into my life and save me from myself. Wash me clean of my sins and cause me to walk with you. And if you prayed that 10, 20, 30 years ago, and you've been like a pinball machine ever since, by God's grace and mercy, you're hearing this message today and you can stop being like that game, that toy, and receive this message from the Lord today that he wants you. And he will make up for all the time that has been wasted. And then finally, this is the final push. It's going to take me a few minutes to give you this final thing. But yes, you're going to go to heaven because he has spoken life to you. This is the absolute, come on, let's be honest, man. This is why we love God. He speaks to us the things that we need to hear. When a wife wants to hear her husband say, I love you more than anything in the whole world. She wants to hear that. If she says, honey, do you love me? And he says, I pay the bills, don't I? That's sad. The amazing thing what God has done, God did it all. And then we ask him, do you love me? And he says, yes. And whenever you doubt it, Jack, just look back at what I've done for you in the past. Go back to the cross. You know what? If you doubt it, read the Gospels again. And you'll see what I did because I'm crazy about you, Jack. You say, I just can't handle the love of God. Well, listen, he's begun a good work in you. You're a little stubborn. I get it. Just start here then. God likes you. That's a good place to start. I can't handle the love of God. Well, then, you know what? He likes you. Start there. See, what does that mean? That means he wants to hang out with you today. That's good news. Most people don't. He does. Right? Think of it. I'm glad he loves me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose the minds, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded, who do not believe. See that? Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Wow. Last verse, it's a whopper. You guys can stand even then. See, if you stand at your expense, it will remind me that I got to end soon. I'll feel sorry for you. But this is a whopper. We'll look at it together. It's Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Watch this. By the way, before I read it, Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts as we read this word that you spoke. Technically, really, those words should be written in red, because they're words that you spoke and you speak and they're eternal. And we ask you, Father, that you would allow us to see our own hearts right now. On the same day that Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, a great multitude or multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And then he spoke many things to them in parables. Parabolos, para alongside, parabolos, to cast truth alongside every head, every heart of every listener. He just threw out the truth and it landed like a bobber on a fishing line right alongside each person's head. Para alongside, balos, to cast truth alongside their head. Notice, he didn't force it into their heart. He didn't shove it down their throat. He cast it alongside them. He's cast it alongside us. This is what he said. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some, that is seed, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came to him and said to him, they're going to be asking him this, why do you speak to the people, them, in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. Stop right there, verse 12. Listen, he's not withholding the truth from them. Satan blinds the eyes of those who do not believe. Jesus throws out, in preaching, he throws out the truth to all, but not all accept. That's how you know who is in the family and who's not. Oh, I wish pastors across America would get this down. They don't need to apologize for the Bible and avoid portions of the Bible. If they're really pastors, they're supposed to give the Bible and let Jesus do his work. You don't make a church happen. You're just supposed to do one thing, Pastor, and you're just supposed to give them the truth faithfully. And God does the rest. If you try to build a church, you'll never build a church. You'll build a clubhouse, but you won't build a church. Let him build it. And he uses his word to do it. You just give the word, and he takes care of the rest. For whoever has, to him more will be given, more light, more light, more light. The more open you're to the light, the more light you're going to get. He will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecies of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. No, who closed their eyes? They, but in their conjunction and their unbelief with Satan, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the Bible being preached, and does not understand it, and the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in their hearts. This is he who received by the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Heaven, Will You Be Going There? Part 3. Thanks for joining us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scripture from the Bible and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com. And then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
Hey friends, I want to excite you about our featured item of the month. And this is a tremendous book. Listen carefully though. It's a very small book in size, but it is gigantic in power. I'm talking about A.W. Tozer's classic, The Pursuit of God. The Pursuit of God is a book that I have to read at least once, sometimes twice a year. It is so good, and you'll love it. In one of the chapters, he has labeled The Blessings of Owning Nothing. What could that possibly mean? Well, get a copy for yourself and find out how liberating and freeing that this little book can be in your life as A.W. Tozer takes the Word of God and opens it up to you in a very sweet and personal way. The Pursuit of God by Dr. A.W. Tozer.
The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God by turning your gaze towards Him. The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.